Welcome to Gen X. I'm Jennifer Lindsay McClintock. I had to put my cat Taz down 2 weeks ago. I got him in a shelter in South Florida where I lived from 1995 to 1998. Withered to bones with a cancer that struck with swift ferocity, it was time to say goodbye. But that's not the story here. What's the story is the role Taz, well, really his sister Maggie, who died 2 years ago, played in saving my life. In 1995, I met a young firefighter from Florida, and believing myself in the throes of love everlasting, moved 2,000 miles away to start life with my new beau. The relationship didn't last long, but I opted to stay. No family, a very limited circle of friends, and a job which was stable and rewarding. Cue 1 year and the standard post-breakup angst later, and in comes Prince Charming number two. Tall and fit, and with the bravado and smarm unlike any I'd experience. We'd had one date, then two, and then a third, and I liked the attention he paid. He was flattering, a bit Brooklyn Burrows for my taste, but protective and a very good player at the sales game. Before I knew it, he'd managed to reel me in, and I found myself completely disarmed and living some faux life as the girlfriend and stepmom to his three boys. Little did I know I'd been lured into a serpent's den. Here's where I segue into the pop culture part of my story, and by no means am I making light of the topic. There's been talk lately about spousal abuse, the obvious physical abuse where women, their faces battered and bloodied, become the punching posts for the men in their lives. Psychologists have chimed in, sports analysts have chimed in, and even Twitter, in its own Twitter way, chimed in with the hashtag, #WhyIStayed. Those words and the tweets behind them were a powerful chorale that speaks to the heart of any kind of abuse. Control. In my case, the shift was so subtle that I was in its fog before I realized it. And that's what it was, a soupy fog of mental uncertainty, like a cloying veil of someone else's words and actions. I could see the real me, but couldn't touch her, so bound I was by his manipulative grip. Isolated from friends and family, he worked to maintain my dependence in ways that were unspeakable. Small things at first, a mysteriously smashed car window, a slashed tire. He needed me to help with the boys instead of go out with friends as I had planned. Multiple phone calls to the receptionist at work just to see how I was feeling. One time he showed up at a seminar I'd been sent to for work, some 60 miles from my office. He just wanted to surprise me, he said. One day I came home from work and my cat Maggie had broken her leg. There he was, lovingly cradling her, acting the kind caregiver until we could take her to the vet. Break number two came some months later, also odd, but not so alarming to suspect anything but random coincidence. Then came her battered face, as if someone had thrown her against a wall, her eye socket cracked and bleeding. By now, the recesses of my mind were screaming, "Danger, Will Robinson!" in bright neon colors. But the fog, the ever-present fog, was more powerful, and I was lost in its crippling chokehold. It was a Stepford existence with no autonomy. Errands were run together, girls' nights forbidden. Even phone calls to my parents were monitored. "I just want to get to know them," he'd say. He'd convinced me I was happy, that this was where I belonged, that no one could or would ever love me the way he did, that I needed him, that to anyone else I'd be worthless. At one point, I subconsciously begged him to beat me or throw me through a window, because then I'd have some kind of proof of the abuse I was experiencing. I'd even considered a restraining order, but without evidence, what good could it do? Maggie's third broken leg came after I'd moved out, and he showed up for a visit, the grip not fully untethered. I still remember the vet's tone when she told me, "This kind of break can only be caused by human hands." And it was in that moment my months of suspicion bore truth. Maggie bore the scars for me and spared me the brutality that is suffered by so many. But help is plenty. The YWCA of Greater Oklahoma City, an Oklahoma coalition against domestic violence, stand ready to offer assistance to anyone in need. From housing to psychological assistance to legal work, they are a valuable resource to anyone who has experienced domestic abuse in any form. Reach them, call out, and find life on the other side of the fog. I'm Jennifer Lindsay McClintock, and this is Gen X. Follow.